Well, welcome to Spirit Life Training. Welcome to your second year. We're excited about having you back. I'm excited about being back in class. We're going to learn a lot this year in this particular class. The book you should have is called Spirit Life Training by Timothy Jurgensen. I've been teaching out of this book for about 8 or 9 years now. So, but it never fails. I go through this book and I get something else out of it. So we'll be in this book. But the first, what I want to do this particular class is to introduce you to the subject matter that we're going to discuss. Spirit Life Training is a book based on dealing with the soul. The soul is one of the most misunderstood parts of our tri-type being. You know, what I mean by tri-type being, you are a tri-type being. Most of you know this, some of you may not know this. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. So you're made of three parts. You're made of spirit, soul, and body, or your flesh. Now, your flesh is important because it gives you legal right to be here in the earth and be able to function in the natural. Your soul is important because, watch this, your soul is the intermediary between the flesh and the spirit. All right? So you are a tri-type being. Some people think the soul, when they talk about the soul, is talking about your spirit. No, your spirit and soul are two separate entities that have to work together to direct the flesh or direct the body. And so Satan, listen to this, Satan only has access to your soul. And in having access to your soul, he has indirect access to your body. So Satan does not and cannot access your spirit. As a matter of fact, turn me to Genesis, the first chapter. I want to prove to you that there's nothing wrong with your spirit. Absolutely nothing. Even when you were a sinner in the world, there was nothing wrong with your spirit. Nothing. Here's why. Go to Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter. And the 26th verse. Very familiar scripture. Are you there? Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. All right, so here we see that God said, let us make man in our image. So God made man after him. Go to the second chapter. Let's see, the second chapter. What verse I want to go to? Verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and the breath of life of Zoe. And the man became a what? A living soul. So what Abraham was conveying, the idea is that man was laying there lifeless. And when God breathed into man, he breathed into man his spirit, which now activated the soul or the mind. So nothing is wrong with your spirit, because if we're made after the image of God and God gave us his spirit, for you to say something wrong with your spirit, you're saying something wrong with God's spirit, because we're made after his image. So nothing is wrong with your spirit. When Adam and Eve sinned, what that did was it created a disconnect from the soul and the spirit through sin nature. And so man was now not alive to God, because his soul had no way of reconnecting to the spirit, its origin, properly. So when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, it wasn't so much that Jesus was improving our spirits. Jesus was eradicating the sin nature that was holding us back from becoming alive to who God is in us. So this is why it's important that you understand that your soul and your spirit are two distinct entities that work together to control the body. If you notice with Adam and Eve, Satan didn't attack her spirit. What he attacked? Her soul, her thought process. So Satan's only access to you is through your soul. So now if you can protect your soul, you can protect yourself from all the wiles of the enemy. And so this particular class is going to be about you understanding your soul, understanding how to protect your soul, understanding how to properly use your soul so that you can help, so that you can accomplish and bring to pass God's dreams in the earth realm. I hope you understood that. So the object of this class is so you can understand how to properly use your soul. Go with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. And, if you're a Bible student, you pretty much know where I'm going. Romans, the 12th chapter. And we'll read the first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. All right, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here it is, the Apostle Paul is telling us that we have to renew our minds, make it new again. This is a constant process. See, when you become born again, what that means is that your spirit is now made alive to God again. Sin nature caused you to be separated from God. Sin is nothing more than being separated from God. That's what sin is, being separated from God. Sin leads to second death. The second death is eternal separation from God. So when Satan got Eve to disobey God's instructions, he got her to disconnect from God's voice, from God's protection, from God's peace. From whatever God had to offer us, we were separated through the sin nature. Jesus died and eradicated all that. So here it is. Now the Apostle Paul is telling us, now that we're born again, we cannot allow Satan to do the same thing he did to Eve. We can't allow him to do it to us what he did to Eve and Adam. And the way you do that is by taking the word, the logos, and renewing your mind. Reminding yourself that you have principles that you live by. That's what renewing your mind really means. It's taking the word of God to really agitate your thoughts, to wash your thoughts, almost like a, it's just like a washing machine. You have to allow the word of God to agitate. There's an agitator, that thing in the center of your washing machine that spins and back and forth and moves the clothes around. That's called an agitator. And the purpose of the agitator is to shake loose any dirt that is holding on to your clothes, to shake loose any smells that are on your clothes. And so it agitates it. It causes it to come loose. Well, the word of God in your soul, in your mind, agitates those thoughts. It challenges those thoughts. It calls those thoughts to be challenged so they can be uprooted and taken out and replaced by what God wants. When that happens, listen to this. When that happens, look what the latter part of that verse said is going to be able to happen. Now let's learn something here. The B part of that verse says, that ye may prove or recognize. That word prove means to recognize. It means to recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when your mind is renewed with the word of God, it makes it easier for you to recognize when God is talking and where God is talking. The Bible says in John the 10th chapter 27 verse that Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. That's not a promise. That's a command. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Why did Jesus use the word sheep? He used the word sheep because he understood that in that time, that particular illustration would ring loud with that culture, because they were a culture of farmers. When they're building a herd of sheep, the shepherd would spend 24/7 with the sheep while he's building a herd so the sheep can learn his voice. So that when they're going through the marketplace, the shepherd just have to give commands. And amongst all the noise that is there, that sheep recognize the shepherd's voice and follows and not distracted. Amongst all the noise, going through market, going through different places where they may have other distractions, because that shepherd spent time with the sheep while building the herd, those sheep can recognize the voice of a stranger. They will not follow. So spending time with the word, spending time with the Father, will improve your ability in hearing his voice or recognizing his voice. Because see, hearing God's voice is not about decibels. Hearing God's voice is more about recognition. Can you recognize God's presence, God's voice? Because it's not about voice. Because if you go back and read about Samuel when he was with Eli, the Bible says Samuel kept running to Eli because every time he heard that voice, he would run to Eli to say, Eli, what do you want? Why did he run to Eli? Because the voice sounded like Eli. So he went to Eli thinking it was Eli, but Eli said, I didn't say nothing. Then Eli perceived that it was God talking to Samuel. He told Samuel, next time you hear that voice, say, Lord, here am I. What will thou have me to do? So that's an indication that a voice can sound familiar, but he couldn't recognize. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But Samuel couldn't recognize it was God and not Samuel, even though it was Eli's voice, it was God. But Samuel couldn't recognize it because he had not been trained yet. I hope you caught that. So in order for that to happen, your mind has to be renewed. It has to be made new again to eradicate all of the thoughts. Here's why. I'm gonna say this and you'll never forget this. This happens in every aspect of your life. This is how your life processes out. Your environment produces your thoughts. Your thoughts creates how you feel. Your feelings causes you to act. And your actions brings results. So if you don't like your results, you got to change how you act. In order to change how you act, you have to change how you feel. In order to change how you feel, you have to change what you're thinking. And to change what you're thinking, you got to change your environment. I'm going to go over that again. Your environment creates your thoughts. Your thoughts lead you to your feelings. It produces how you feel. Now, your feelings are just fuel to act. So your feelings causes you to act, and your actions brings certain results. So once again, if you don't like your results, you got to change how you act or behave. If you want to change how you behave, you have to change how you feel. So I hope you're catching on to this, that your environment it causes you to think a certain way. It produces your thoughts. Your thoughts cause you to feel a certain way. When you feel a certain way, you act a certain way. When you act a certain way, you bring certain results. That's how your life processes out. And so you have to properly understand how to use your soul. When you properly understand how to use your soul, you can catch the enemy every time he tries to trip you up. Every time he tries to cause you to miss out on what God wants, you're going to catch him in your soul. You're going to catch him in your thought process. You're going to catch him in your mind. See, your mind and your soul are so closely related that Satan can actually cap your spirit off through your soul. Go with me to Psalms 142. Psalms 142. Watch this. Psalms 142. Psalms 142, verse 7. David is writing, and David said, "Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Thy righteousness shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." David is asking God to bring his soul out of prison. So that means your soul can be in prison. So if your soul is in prison, watch what it says. All right, go to Psalms 143. Watch this. Psalms 143, one chapter over, verse 3 and 4. "For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He had smitten my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate." You see what David's writing? David's saying, my soul is persecuted. My soul is in prison. When my soul is in prison, my spirit is overwhelmed. You can't produce when your soul is persecuted, when your soul is in prison, because your soul and your spirit are so closely related. Matter of fact, the only thing that can separate your soul from your spirit is the word of God. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Watch. Go to Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Watch what it says. "For the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, dividing of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So everywhere you see the word heart, you can replace it with the word soul, because that's what it's talking about. The heart, the soul, and the spirit are so closely related that the only thing that can separate them is the word of God. So that's why you have to properly understand how to use your soul so that you can catch the enemy at every front. There are five aspects of the soul that we're going to study this year. And we study those aspects of the soul, you'll see exactly where Satan is trying to sneak in to trip you up. Remember what I said earlier about renewing your mind. You have to renew your mind with the word of God. When you renew your mind with the word of God, it refreshes. It reboots. Because if you don't spend time with the word of God, you're opening the door for Satan to come in and affect your thoughts and persecute your soul, put your soul in prison. Therefore, your spirit is overwhelmed. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. They had to go a protracted period of time without spending time with God. which allows Satan to come in. You can't allow that to happen. Satan has no new tricks. Satan is a one-trick pony. He's coming through your soul. So that's why the Bible says in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 4 and 23, guard your heart, guard your soul with all diligence. For out of them are the issues of life, or out of them are the borders. Issues is border. Out of them are the borders of life. In other words, your soul create borders. You go, how far you going? Are you going to cross that border and get in uncharted territory? Are you going to guard your heart so that the borders can maintain, so you don't go someplace you ain't supposed to go? Adam and Eve didn't guard their borders. They didn't guard them. They let somebody cross over that shouldn't have crossed over and affect their environment. You are in control of your environment. See, glory to God, you are in control of your environment. You don't want to let people in your environment. You don't want to kick people out of your environment. You don't want to listen to that music. You don't want watching that TV show. You don't want to watch that movie. You don't want gossiping. You don't want, are you seeing this? You have to guard your heart. Your soul is important to you doing things for God. Without your soul, you have no way to maneuver in the earth realm. So your soul is important. So this particular class this year, we're going to delve into the soul, and you're going to learn some things about your soul that you may have never learned before. And it's important. Matter of fact, one of my favorite scriptures is Luke 21, 19. When you get a chance, you go there and say, Jesus is talking. Jesus say, in your patience, you possess your soul. You're the only one that can control your soul. Nobody else can. God can't control your soul. God will not mess with your soul, because your soul is the place where you make decisions. And God wants you. That's why the tree of knowledge of good and evil was placed in the garden, so that Adam and Eve can have a choice. If the tree of knowledge of good and evil was not in the garden, they would have been forced or enslaved to do what's right. So therefore, without a choice, love cannot exist. Love is based on choices. I love my wife. I chose my wife. Out of all the females in the earth, I chose my wife. I chose Chantel. That's how love exists. If God had not put that tree of knowledge, good and evil, then we didn't have a choice to be with him. We were forced to be with him. Forcing somebody to do something is not love. That's enslavement. And if we're made in the image of God, God puts us in a position where we can choose. So when you choose to do what God has, when you choose to spend time with him, you're showing God that you love him. Are you getting this? So you have to protect your soul. So this class is going to be all about you learning how to protect your soul, how to properly use your soul, how your soul is effective in the spirit realm. Because your soul has something to do with the spirit realm. You cannot. One of the things I pray all the time is that Holy Spirit, we're going to hold on to you. We yield to you, because you're the only one that can properly escort us into the supernatural. See, you don't want to go into the supernatural with just your soul. Things are moving so fast in the supernatural. So much stuff is going to the supernatural that you need the Holy Spirit and your spirit to escort your soul into the supernatural. So this class is going to be all about properly using your soul. We'll go through the five aspects of the soul to see where Satan is trying to rob you in your soul. Because if he can persecute your soul, if he can put your soul in prison, then he can, watch this, overwhelm your spirit, and you will be ineffective in the earth realm. You'll be ineffective in the agenda of God. You'll be ineffective in the apostolic. So I look forward to having you in this class. Remember, the book that we're using is Spirit Life Training. If you don't have it yet, make sure you contact our office. Make sure you contact Deidre, and she'll make sure you get it. And you can start reading chapter one. We're going to go after it. I'm so excited about this particular year. We're going to learn a lot, and the Holy Spirit is going to help us. So I bless you, and I look forward to being with you next time.